And Brother Jeff's probably like most of us pastors. We get discouraged and we get under the juniper tree every once in a while. And don't be afraid to let him know that you love him. Show him. And he's already said this morning you've done things that touched him and you continue to do that. Let him know that you care about him and you're praying for him and encourage him. A lot of times now, everybody in this church has got a pastor but the pastor. You ever thought about that? Amen. Who's he going to go to when he's got a need and when he's got problems and he's got somebody to talk to? And so you go to your pastor, but he's the only one in the church that don't have a pastor. And I know he's got men that he looks up to and men he talks to, but you think about that and you chew on that for a little while. And amen, he talks the Lord of the church. When you leave this morning to church, you leave. But when he leaves, he takes the church with him. Amen. He's lays in the bed at night. He wonders, what's wrong with that and missing? What's wrong with that and missing? What's wrong with that? And it's got, seem like they got a problem. He's concerned about that. And he's praying. So you pray for him and you encourage him. You let him know that you love him. And don't be afraid to do that. But I appreciate him loving from the bottom depths of my heart. Don't think there's a better preacher in the world, Jeff Clark. And you pray for me now this morning. I know that you just come through revival. And I know that physically you probably give out. Some of us older ones, I know it don't really seem like it affects your younger ones like it does us, Brother Tony. But I preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and boy, I'm dragging on Monday. I thought about one time I preached 14 weeks in a row in revival, worked every day. And I mean, that's back in my younger days. I could do that, but our step's getting slower. But I know you're tired, and I know you physically give out. But you pray for me this morning now that the Lord will give us that we need today. And I thought about this, and like I say, I know you come through revival. And I said, Lord, well, maybe I need to preach this message somewhere else. But this is what the Lord impressed me with this morning. And I just want to bring it to you and just, amen, just let you, my friend, just take and just meditate upon God's Word. And I guarantee you, if we'll do that, the Lord will show us and the Lord will direct us in every direction that we need to go in. Amen, today. So I desire your prayers this morning. Two places I want to read. Jeremiah chapter number 8. And I want to then go to Revelations chapter number 2. But Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 5 and 6. It said, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they I spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. Revelation chapter number 2. I begin with verse 1. It said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, I write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and have borne and have patience, and for my name's sake have labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, have repent and do the first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. This thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, who I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Our Father, we're Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for this day. And God, for this privilege that we have, that we might stand, Lord, in this precious place. We're greater men than I'll ever be stood, and preach your precious word. And now, God, I pray that you might loose my tongue. And Lord, may I this morning proclaim your precious word. God, that you might be glorified, Lord, in this place. And Lord, I pray that you touch every heart, that we all might see the need, Lord, that we can, Lord, just come closer, Lord, to you. Now, Lord, I pray that you bless the church. Lord, may every need be met according to your will. And God, I pray, face one, Lord, this morning's got a need, that they'll cast all their cares on you. And Father, we'll praise you for everything that you've done, everything you're doing and going to do, because we love you. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. And now for just a few minutes this morning, I want to, my friend, you to look at this. I thought today, we hear this quite often. About backsliding. Amen. This morning, somebody asked me. One time said, "Preacher, do you believe in backsliding?" I said, "No, but there's a lot of people that practice it. How today we see it, my friend, in our nation, more common this morning than we've ever had. We see folks that was once my friend on fire for God. Men that one have served God faithfully and fully have seemed us to cool down a bit. And now I'm not talking about infidelity. I'm not talking about murder. I'm not talking about being a thief or an adulterer. My friend, you can sit on the front pew of a Baptist church and backslide. This morning I become cold in the Lord and not have that fire about you that you once had when you first got saved this morning. Amen. And I thought about as I was studying up on this word all this week, I pondered upon this. I'm thought about it. I got somewhere wrote down. I couldn't find it last night. But they 7 danger signs of cancer. And bro, you probably heard of them. Amen. The danger signs we look for. Cancer is the silent killer. Amen. You can be eat up with it before you really even know. That you die. Boy, there's some signs of backsliding that I began to ponder on last night, began to look at now. I'm not preaching from notes this morning, but I found out the first thing that'll let you down is your memory. Amen. And I wrote these things down, and it seemed the Lord began to speak to me about, now I'm not going to preach on these, but I want you to look at these, and amen, maybe you can ponder them for a little while in your heart. Amen. Some causes of backsliding. Amen. First of all, it's the fear of man. Did you know we won't do something from God because we fear what man think about me and you? Did you know we won't testify because we're afraid of something? that somebody's going to say. We won't even try to sing a song because we're afraid. What man is going to say about us? It's time that we quit worrying about what man thinks and do what God wants me and you to do this morning. Brother, just pull up to the table today. I can't sing, but if God told me how to sing, I'd get up and do my best to try. Yes, sir. Brother, he told me to testify. If all I could do is get up and cry, I'd want to do that. Hey, you know why we seem to slide back a little bit? It's because we're afraid of what man's going to say. Amen about me and you. Next of all, it's that worldly association in our business or our companionship. You know, I've never seen like it in all my life. Brother Jill, now I don't know about you, but used to people had respect for a Christian, but they don't anymore. Amen. On your job, you hear filthy language. Do you not? You see things that's ungodly. Brother Darrell, you know what happened to me if I stayed around the hog pen all time? I get smelling like a hog. Yes, sir. I'm going to tell you something. If I hung around all these things all time and I never found a place to repent and get clean, I'd come to the house of God just as cold as I could be. Yes, sir. Brother, we need to. I tell you what we need to do. Amen. We need to come out from among the world and be a separated people. I touch not the unclean thing. And he said, I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Amen. I heard Brother Raymond Cook. I used to say, somebody use a filthy word around him, he'd say, my ears ain't garbage cans. I don't want to hear it. Brother Will said, and we'll watch it on TV. Amen. We'll watch all this nudity. And we'll watch all the stuff. It affects me and you spiritually this morning. Yeah. Brother, we need to realize that the worldly associations that we keep on, my friend, the cause to get cold. And then, amen, being unequally yoked with unbeliever. Amen. Now, if I ain't pulled in your driveway, I will in a minute. Yes, sir. Brother Powell, I've tried to tell folks this. Amen. It's a whole lot easier for you to pull me down than it is for me to pick you up. What do you say? I've counseled young couple. I was going to get married. And the one of them sell the other, no. They don't go to church, but I'll get them in church. I'm going to tell you something. The danger is they'll pull you out of church. Yes, sir. We don't need to be unequally yoked this morning. Amen. Amen. Oh, Brother Jake Case, give me a sort of a, amen, a example one time. He said, Brother Billy, standing on that table. You stand on that table and said, now take him and pick your wife up on that table with you. And it's hard to do. But you know what? She can reach up and pull me down a whole lot easier than I can pick her up. And that's the way it is. You know what? I'm not telling you, my friend, who to fall in love with young folks. But I'll tell you what. Amen. If I was you, I'd find me somebody that I know that. Amen. That love the Lord and serve the Lord. I believe like I did that I'd want to spend the rest of my life with. Amen. We're unequally yoked. My daughter, and I'm not trying to be funny. My daughter, she bakes cakes and all for weddings. And it's got where now they don't want a two-tier or three-tier cake. It's just one layer. Hey, we used to, they'd take that top layer and put it in the freezer and cut it on the first anniversary. They ain't expecting to have a first anniversary no more. The lust burns out and the marriage is over with. I'm preaching on backsliding now. Amen. Hey, unequally yoked. I'm giving you seven danger signs. Amen. Amen. To being unequally yoked and yielding to the desires of what's new. Boy, ain't we there? Amen. Anything new come out? I'm going to tell you what the two worst things that's ever been invented in this world today. And brother, you can believe it or not, it was made to help us, but it's caused us to move further from God. And that's a cell phone and a computer. Yes, sir. Amen. What does kids in grammar school need with a cell phone? And tell me that. What business have you got to conduct? Brother, it got so bad in one church I pastored, we had to put a sign on the door, turn your phones off. Before you enter the sanctuary, the phone ringing in the invitation hymn. Amen. My mama lived 88 years old, never owned one. Amen. She never had an automatic washer and dryer until her last few years. Amen. Didn't have a microwave oven. I don't know how she raised eight kids without all that, do you? But she found time to darn her clothes, to wash her clothes, how to teach us about God, how prayer, how to read the Bible. We ain't got time for nothing no more. Amen. I'm talking about, now I'm not talking about, I told you what I'm talking about, infidelity, adultery, fornication. I'm talking about these little things that's pulling us away. Well, we want something new. Hey, man, I caught myself yesterday. Hey, man, put a computer up in my office. Hey, man, and in there checking it out. Hey, clicked up there and it had games. I clicked over on pinball. And for 45 minutes, I sat there and played on that. Wasted 45 minutes of the breath that God gave me to live in this world. Amen. Brother Darrell, I thought about that. So Lord, I'm ashamed of myself. Amen. Brother, I believe the Bible said there that we ought to redeem the time. Amen. The time God gives me and you, that we ought to do it for His honor and glory. Church, I'm not jumping on you. I'm just telling you how it is in the world that we're living in today. Hey, man, if we spend more time in this book, if we spend more time on our knees, boy, we could see a revival like we ain't never seen. Yes, sir. Amen. I'm just telling you, the things that plague us as people that save and love the Lord, these plague me and you. Number five is maintaining an unforgiving spirit toward another. Amen. Why can't we forgive one another? Paul said we fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and wickedness in high places. Amen. Why can't we forgive? We don't have to approve of what people does. No, we don't. But we got to forgive them and love them and continue on in serving God. If you harbor that in your heart, you can't pull up close to the Lord. Amen. People will bring things back up that happened 20 years ago. You know what we are? We're crucified between two thieves. The regrets of yesterday and the worries of tomorrow pull us down and keep us from getting close to the Lord. Amen. When's the last time you've been to the Baptist church and folks shouted all over the house and rejoiced about what God had done? Have they sung a song a while ago, God is so good? Amen. He let us get up out of the bed this morning, dress ourselves, and give us a faculty that we could come over to his house, amen, that we might worship him in spirit and in truth today, and we are I praise him for every breath that we have. Amen. We maintain an unforgiving spirit. Barely anybody ever hurt you? Anybody in the church ever hurt you? Be honest with me now. If you come to church with a chip on your shoulder, somebody will knock her off. If you want to be a member of Baptist Church, you better be tough. So folks are going to say something about you. You told me the other day about somebody trying to just tear you down. And they'll say evil things about you. And they'll talk about you. And they'll run you down. And boy, they'll get you right on by. If you sit around harbor on that, you know what the next thing will happen? A root of bitterness will spring up in your heart. You'll get that get-even attitude. And when that happens, you can't pray, you can't sing, you can't testify, you can't worship. What's happened? You backslid. Have you been there? I have. Quite often. Quite often I've been there. Number six, refusing to confess to God when we've sinned. We've come to a place as Baptists that we believe in eternal security so much we don't even have to repent. Did you know this? And you may have heard me say this. I read this one time. If there was a big old screen there and you could walk up and stick your finger in a hole and everything that come on your mind this week could come up on that screen, how many volunteers would I have? Did you know the Bible says an evil thought is sin? You ever think anything evil? Well, sure you do. Brother Monroe Willingham used to tell me, he said, son, he said, you can't stop a bird from lighting in your hair, but you can stop him from building a nest there. Yes, sir. Hey, man, you don't have to ponder on it. Something comes through your mind. These things I've done years ago that I'm ashamed of, I wouldn't want you to know about. There's some things I've done recently I'm ashamed of, I wouldn't want you to know about. Hey, man, brother, and I see things that brings that back to my mind, and I ponder on it. Pulls me away from the Lord. Number seven, harboring unclean thoughts and feelings. Now that's the seven causes of backsliding. I'm going to read these other seven that the Holy Spirit gave me real quick. I'm not going to try to preach. I'm not trying to preach from these, but I just wanted you to know. Good people. I'm talking about people who love the Lord. People that serve the Lord, people that come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, these things plague me and you and pull us away. Now, here's some evidences. See if you got any of these. A backsliding. Neglecting the Word of God as our bread of life. We used to take that book and read it every day. Do we not? Well, I admired our governor. They took the Bibles out of the cabins and all. Well, state resort. ACLU raised their head up and they wanted to holler real loud, but you know what he said? He said, put them back in a drawer. They don't have to open that drawer if they don't want to. But I'm going to tell you what, you know where Christians get their strength? Let me tell you this. Brother Jeff is your pastor, but he don't eat your meals for you. Does he not? Hey man, he ain't one that's supposed to do your reading and your studying for you. That's up to you. If you want strength, it's right here in this book. But we neglect it. Let me hurry on. Little or no desire for secret prayer communion. I probably pulled in everybody's parking place then. I believe the psalmist said this. He said, I pray in the morning, noon, and at night. Three times a day. We eat three times a day. Why can't we pray? Why can't we get by ourselves? Hey, I like altar prayer. I like to get down in the altar and pray. Amen. But I tell you what, when I open my heart and when I really do a house cleaning, it's when I get by myself with God and just tell Him how it is. Say, Lord, I've done this and this right here is in my heart. Help me. When we get alone with God and we get down and we tell Him and we open our heart and let Him shine His light in, you find out what's going on. Growing fondness of worldly pleasure. Where we see that at? They're building sports complexes all over the place. And I'm going to tell you that you get mad at me if you want to. But the Lord sent me this morning and told me the church is more important than softball and soccer. Amen. And baseball.
Amen.
And football. Amen. I had Sunday school teachers that couldn't come on Wednesday night because they had to take their kids to soccer. And I addressed them about it. They didn't like it. It's a requirement that a steward be found faithful. Amen. Amen. That's a requirement, brother. Amen. Knock down on the soccer field or down on the baseball field or the softball field. Nowadays, it used to be in the summertime. It's year-round now. I'm telling you what. And, brother, when people get more desire for worldly pleasure than they do the house of God, you backslid. You backslid. Satisfied with your present state or spiritual being. Are you satisfied where you are spiritually? We ought not to be content. We ought not to be. I see some mean looks at me this morning. But let me tell you like it is. You go to the doctor, you don't find out what's wrong. And he tells you, don't get mad at him. Why don't I shout like I used to? Why don't I testify like I used to? Why don't I have a desire to sing? Why don't I have a desire to go to Sunday school? Why don't I have a desire to go to Wednesday night? Hey man, I'm fixing to get something just in a minute. Why don't I have these? What's wrong with me? Not you. What's wrong with me? We should never be satisfied with our spiritual state. We want to pull up closer. Closer. Amen. empty excuses for neglecting Christian fellowship. Amen. I just don't feel like going this morning. I got things I need to do. I got to cut the grass today. We put up empty excuses for not going to the house of God. Amen. Number six is having a tendency to find fault with other Christians in the church. That preacher preached too long. He preaches too loud. They get another choir director. You know what the problem is? It ain't them. It's right here. Right here. And number seven is a decreasing desire to see souls saved. Amen. When's the last time you witnessed somebody? When's the last time you wept yourself to sleep over somebody lost? Now that is some evidences of being backslidden. Now here's the remedy. Verse number 4 and 5 of Revelation 2. Now this is a church that had good singing. This is a church that had good leaders. This is a church that worked. This is a church that served. This is a church that didn't put up with things. They had some convictions about them. But this is what the Lord said. It'd be a church you'd want to join if it's in today's world. But you know what Jesus said? He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. Thou hast, look at that word, not lost it. Thou hast left thy first love. What are you talking about, Brad? I'm talking about that honeymoon love. You fellas remember when you first met your wife and you first fell in love with her, you couldn't stay away from her. You wanted to be around her. You'd open the car door. You'd send her flowers. You'd give her things on Valentine's Day. Boy, you just couldn't do enough for her. You remember when you first got saved? You couldn't do enough for the Lord. Brother, you couldn't go to church enough. You couldn't pray enough. You couldn't read enough. You couldn't witness enough. You just want to talk about Him all the time. Where are we now? I remember standing outside the churchyard till midnight on Sunday night talking about the good things of God. How God blessed and how God had this answered prayer and met our needs and how God just wrapped us up. And how we'll stand outside now. We'll talk about sports. We'll talk about hunting. We'll talk about everything but the goodness of God. I read about sheep. Did you know sheep will travel the same path day after day till they beat that path into a rut? What we do for the Lord is important. But why we do it is more important. You know why a mother will stay up all night long with a sick child? Daddy's over there in a bed asleep. Mama's there and every whimper. She's there getting it up. You know why? I'm not saying Daddy don't love that child, but Mama's got a love for that child. Daddy don't. Amen. And that ought to be the way it is with us and God, brother. We ought to get out of that rut and get back to where we're in love with the Lord and let everybody know. He said, you left it, not lost it. Where'd you leave it at? I mean, even with our wives, Brother Tony, Brother Jeff, we take for granted. We've been married so long, we take it for granted. Do you love them? Yeah, I love them. Why don't we show it every once in a while? Why don't we open a card door? Why don't we send them flowers? Why don't we give them a Valentine? Well, I love her. Well, I love the Lord, but you remember Martha and Mary? Martha was concerned with labor. Labor is no substitute for love. No, sir. Mary desired the good part. She wasn't worried about washing dishes and cooking a meal. She wanted to sit down there and get instruction from the Lord. Because she loved him. Now here is the remedy. I'm going to close. Remember where thou hast fallen from. Remember how it used to be. Remember how it was in the old churches with slap back pews and raise the windows. Some of you youngers probably ain't going to know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to tell you something, brother. When they open the doors of the church house and folks come in, they didn't have no worries about mortgage payments. They didn't have worries about car payments. They weren't worried about their 401ks. They just wanted to come to the house of God and worship God for what he'd done. And when you pull on the church or the parking lot, the heart stand up on back of your head, your heart would go to pounding and beating because there's conviction in the house. Remember where thou fallen from. And repent. Get on your face and say, Lord, I've not done what I'm supposed to. My father-in-law told me something one time I'll never forget. He said, son, it ain't so much what we do that displeases God, but it's what we don't do. Amen. It's not the sin of commission, but it's a sin of omission. Amen. That we commit every day that displeases the Lord. Repent. Now, there's seven things I'm going to preach. I'm going to read them to you. That we have to do. Remember, repent, return. Go back to where you left that first love. Restore. Restore some broken relationships. Restore that commitment that you once had. You know what happened when Isaiah got right, brother? I know y'all got Bible school coming up, and I know how it is. I don't know about your officer calling, but used to be in churches. People say, I ain't going to take Sunday school class. I ain't going to do this. I can't do this. I can't do that. But I tell you, when Isaiah got right with the Lord said, who shall we send? Who go for? He said, here, my Lord, send me. I might not be able to be the best, but I want to be the best I can for you, God. Restore. Renounce the hidden things of this world. Get rid of those things that hinder you and pull you down. Renew your minds for a daily walk through this word. Paul said, I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, you beseech your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll re-enlist in the service of God. I want to be the best preacher I can be. I want to be the best deacon. I want to be the best song leader. I want to be the best Sunday school teacher. Amen. Deacons is... I love them. They're good. But you know who's the pastor's right-hand man in the church house? That song leader. Now, he can get the service up, or he can bring her down. If you started off with an old dead, draggy song, it's probably going to end that way. a song leader knows who's prayed. He knows what songs to sing, who to sing, and get her high, and then give it to the man of God, and then he can go. You ever tried to preach when the disaster's in the singing? You know what I'm talking about. You ever tried to preach when everything just fell apart in the music? But you know what? Baptists think that we can't have a meeting if we don't have a piano player now. We used to have a meeting and not even own a piano in the church. Sang and harmonized in the power of God this fall. What I'm saying this morning, church, I know it's been lengthy. And I didn't come to jump on you. I come down here because I love you. Now, I preached this to myself before I preached it to you. Because, see, I parked in my driveway a lot of times. I allow a lot of things to hinder me from pulling up closer to the Lord. We think backsliding is a great sin or something that you had to do. Great sin in pulling us away, no. I've sat on the front pew and folks rejoicing around me and wondering what was wrong. It wasn't them. It was me. Now I want to ask if they come with a verse or song. And could I ask you this morning, if you'd just be honest? Just be honest with yourself. And say, preacher, I ain't where I would be. I've allowed these things to come into my life and pull me down. I've lost my desire to be in the church house every time the door's open. Old Brother Donald Collin told me, he said, when he first got saved, said he'd get him a paper and look and see whether it's going to be a revival. He said, I want to be in church house every night. I was afraid I'd miss something that God was going to do. Folks, if we'd all just be honest and we'd all just fess up. And I thought about coming down the road this morning. Lord, I'd love to preach this message to every Baptist in the United States. Because we'd have to say, oh me. Oh me. One of my favorite scriptures is what the psalmist wrote. He said, as the hart panteth out of the water's brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And by studying and reading and found out what that was about, them dogs would run them deer over there around Jerusalem. And them deers would get so thirsty and exhausted. They could smell the water in them underground conduits that they dug. And them deer would go to pawing the ground to get to that water. And that's where it ought to be with me and you, to get to God. I want him so close. And when I speak, he hears me. I don't want to have to get out and repent because I need him. In a wee hour of a morning, I want to be able to be in fellowship with him. We need to get thirsty and hungry again after God. While Brother Jeff comes, while we stand, would you be honest this morning? Be honest with yourself today and say, Oh, I ain't where I ought to be. I need to pull up closer. I need to get closer to you. Help, Lord. What about it this morning? Would you come while we sing, Brother John?